Our main speaker tonight is Tom.
Yeah, good.
If you need anything, just let us know.
Okay.
The microphone's right up in front of you.
A little scotch would help. I'm an alcoholic. My name is Tom. I was supposed to have a stress test this week. I don't have to have it now. First and foremost, I want to thank the people. I'm sorry. First and foremost, I'd like to thank the people who are responsible for me being here tonight, which is the guy who drove me here and is around me all the time, my good dear friend Ted P. and Stacy, of course, and of course Nye for asking me to speak. I said yes to him after saying no about six times because of medical reasons. No matter how I got here tonight, even if I had to come in a little red wagon, I was going to get it. Because I don't know what, you know, there's a lot of people here. And there's a large contingent of sober people here, as you see. I'd like to say a bunch of my guys from PAX are here. Say hello, PAX. I always wanted to do that. I was watching The Price is Right today, and they were doing that all day, so I said, that's good. This church means a lot to me. I've been coming to this church for different groups for over 40 years. My sober date is May 4th, 1971. I'm a member of the PAX group of Alcoholics Anonymous and at Bill's Place over in Calvary Church, where the first Oxford Movement group stayed in the room that it was in. And we call that kind of sacred. We have that over there on a Wednesday night. And PAX is Monday, Tuesday, and Thursday. And I have about five sponsors now since my beloved sponsor died about 8-9 years ago, Jerry Beckerman. So the only way I could fulfill him is to get about five guys. Because you're with somebody for 30, 35 years. It's a little rough. So that's one of the things that you do as a prerequisite of getting up here like this with a lot of time. See, the Atlantic Group has another couple of rules that are very, very hard to not listen to. And the first one is don't drink, and the second one is don't die, you know. Because I've been burying a lot of people this year. A lot of good, wonderful people who were sober and a member of Fellowship of Alcoholics Anonymous, and worked the service program until they couldn't believe it. The last one was Phil Parker, who's, if you haven't read his story in the big book, it's He Lived to Drink, and it's in the back. It used to be on the old big book. It was on 449, Phil was an unbelievable man who did unbelievable things for people, and he had about 48 years when he passed. But that's because we get old, you know. Well, that's what happens. And a lot of the old messages aren't around anymore. And I feel that. Mostly with my defects, I feel that. As I'll sit at the end of the meeting and go, what the hell was that all about? You know. Because I went into an alcoholics meeting and I heard the preamble and there was a lot of people there, but then the rest of it was all downhill, you know. So it's my job to get up and go to another meeting, you see. It's my job to get up and go home and talk to my people on the phone. And my life changed totally 3 years ago. I was sober 42 years. I was 72 years of age. I was retiring. Everything was right in place. Everything was set. I used to come here all the time. Especially on the anniversaries, I had a lot of friends, a lot of sponsees. My life was working well. I was getting old, but what the hell, right? That's another thing I got to watch tonight. I always judged my language based on what I saw. And now since I don't see sometimes, I forget where I am, so I have to work real hard. Pray for me to work hard on that tonight. What was the last thought I had? Okay, thank you. Told you I needed help. I was having a lot of trouble with my health. I was putting a lot of weight on. And I had the thing called moon face for a while because all the medicines they were trying to get me right with were slowly killing me. And I blew up like a balloon. And then finally they found out what it was, and it was the fact that I had a heart problem. And they all came up to me and told me in Mount Sinai, so this will give anybody who's going to Mount Sinai a scare now, but I'm sorry. You have to name the culprit, you know. They said, don't worry about it. We never lost a patient yet. You're in good health. Simple heart operation, open surgery. You know, we'll open your heart up, fix the valve, fix the other stuff, find out what else is wrong with you. You'll be as good as new, and 3 days later, you'll be up and out of here. It's not a bad deal, right? I figured, you know, thank God I had the insurance and everything else. And we went over to Mount Sinai that morning. It was on June 4th, 2013. And I went up and got ready for the operation, and I went and I had an operation. Everything was fine, they told me, when I came to. The operation was totally a success. All the guys in my group were up there with me, and what I remember was there was a small problem. I was blind. And they couldn't figure out how that happened. Never happened before. We've never had somebody be blind in both eyes, only one eye. You, however, have one, you know. So meanwhile, I went in for 3 days, and they're pumping me full of every drug known to mankind to keep me alive, and I wound up in the intensive care unit of Mount Sinai for 2 months. In those 2 months, I was, if I didn't die from drugs in there, I'll never die. But I was in there for 2 months, and I was in the rest of the hospitals and for another 2 months. So I went in for 3 days, and I was in the hospital for 4 months. I came out, it'll be 3 years, it'll come out October 7th. And they told me there was no hope of ever seeing again, but you're in good health, you know, you're all right. And I had to deal with that. I joke about it because it's the only way to deal with it. I have to laugh at the irony of my life and my health and what's going on and the fact that I am alive still after all these years. And when I tell you a short synopsis of my drinking, you'll say, I'm way overdue on my warranty, way overdue. The whole premise of what our bodies take and the damage that we take it. And when we get older, all of a sudden the bills come in. So there I was. Now I say that as a point. Alcoholics Anonymous is a group of 2 million people who share their experience, strength, and hope with each other. Now, when I came into Alcoholics Anonymous, there was almost 1.5 million people. And I'm going to give you some statistics because I heard a lot of day counters. My story isn't as important as statistics, because you can believe me or not believe me, but statistics you can prove, and I'll tell you who to go to get it. We got the American Health Organization, the United Medical Associations, the health organizations, World Health Organization, American Council on Alcoholism, Alcoholics Anonymous, and World International on Alcoholism, and they all have these facts. When I came in 70, 71, 50% of everybody that came to Alcoholics Anonymous stayed sober and didn't go out again. 25% got sober after a while, and 25% didn't get sober at all. So it was 50% immediately, 25% after a while, and 25% never at all, right? Now here it is 45 years later, and the numbers have changed a little bit. 15% of everybody that comes in stays, 5% stays sober after a while, and 80% never get it. So that if you're sitting here counting days or in the first 6 months or the first year and you're having trouble, 80% of you are not going to get it. And anybody that just said, well, that's not going to be me, go to the front of the line. Because it's happening. You folks are filling this room up, and it's a commendation to you. Meetings are going, stopping, they're stopping. For no reason except lack of attendance and lack of symmetry from sponsor to sponsee. The Soho meeting on Friday night said used to have 300 people in it. I had six people sometimes now. And I could name for the next 10 minutes all the rest of the groups that don't belong. Now, what does that mean? It means if you live in the middle of Montana and there's three meetings, you got to do everything you can to make those three meetings because you got to make them pay, keep you sober. You live in the middle of Manhattan, you don't have to do anything. You get when you want. There's one right around the corner, one up the block, one down the hill. You can go on the east side, the west side, gay, straight, white, black, American Indian. They're all over the place. So if you need one, you can go get one. So the next time you go into the meeting and you hear the guys that are back and the gals that are back, you can add up their numbers to the people that might not make it. Get used to them going away and never coming back again. Because Alcoholic Anonymous works. But the program that we're working doesn't. Because the only difference between when I came in and today is the way we work Alcoholics Anonymous. The people that got me sober and that have helped me stay sober, especially the ones that were on my bedside for four months, and this group that has the same loyalty. The Atlantic group has always been known for, you know, the membership and to start with it, to do the right thing and get as many people sober because they just don't. They just don't. Now, what we have to do is what they did when I came in. And I came in on the last, it was the last Monday of the month, in the month of January 1971. And this last Sunday of the month, which was the day before, Bill Wilson died. So he had died the night before I walked into my first organized Alcoholics Anonymous meeting. And the guy who was speaking at that particular meeting at the anniversary meeting of the group I came into, which was a gratitude group up in the Bronx, was very dear friends with Bill, and they kind of sponsored each other. His name was Jack Brennan. You can find him all over speaker tapes. And Jack did not know Bill died, because if Jack knew that, he would have been with Lois, and he would have been out of there, and he wouldn't have been speaking. But he spoke, and I listened to an hour and a half of him talk about the disease of alcoholism, not the addiction of alcoholism or the issue of alcoholism or the behavior of alcoholism or the symptoms of alcoholism, the physiological chemical imbalance that we have that's called alcoholism. I didn't ask for it, but I got it. I am an alcoholic because that's the way it is. There's no other reason. My mother wasn't an alcoholic. My father wasn't an alcoholic. They had their problems. My uncle, her uncle and aunt were. Did I have it from the beginning? I believe I did. Did I show symptoms of it since I was a child? I believe I did. And the more and more we look at it, the more and more we know the old timers were right. If you have it, you have it. There's nothing you're going to do about it. You're going to either stay with it and do what was done in the beginning and follow the steps and the traditions and the concepts, or somewhere down the line, as I heard last night from about 15 people at the meeting I was at, something went wrong about the first year, year and a half. There was disenchantment. There was unhappiness. There was a bad marriage. There was a bad this, a bad that. So all of a sudden, they stopped going to meetings, and they stopped calling their sponsor, and they stopped, and they stopped, and they stopped. And now some of them are back, and the others are hanging on by their fingernails, wondering what the heck's going on, and why is it not working for them. It's not working because they're not working it. You know, I'm responsible as an old-timer to tell as many people as will sit down and listen to me how the program of Alcoholics Anonymous works. Not how I think it works, how it works. How do I know? I've been around long enough. Even if I was only paying attention half the time, you know. You know, how many times you got to hear don't pick up the first drink before you say, well, that's a catchy little slogan. Yeah. And then you go down the rows, and I say to the guys who I know well, how many guys you working with? Well, you know, two of them got drunk, and one guy moved, and the other guy, you know, blah, blah, blah. How many? I said, I didn't ask that. I said, how many guys you working with? And after a while, they don't, and they let things go. And that's what we're doing. I'm not going to tell you everything is sunny and rosy in Manhattan. It's not. All you have to go is through the meetings that you don't know of and listen to some of the stories. People are drinking and dying. See, you really had to work at it when I came in. You really had to. You, in other words, how much could I drink on a bar stool? You know, how much money could I drink? How much could? How long could I sit upright on the bar stool? And if I didn't crack my head open when I fell down, I lived to drink another day. Today, you go into a bar and you sit next to somebody and you're there and they say, hey, you want one of these? And you say, what's that? And you say, it's just, you know, it's like ecstasy, but it's not something new. It's really good. And you feel like you're, could use a little uplifting thing. So you say, yeah, okay. And you're dead. You see, you fall off the bar stool and you are, as they say on the police radio, an overdose. They are spending millions of dollars right now on these nightcap injectors to stop overdoses. Did all of those people addicts? Not really. Were all those people bad or junkies? Or no, not really. A lot of them just went out on Friday night and decided to try something that they hadn't tried that someone said was pretty good. And they don't get a chance to get up the next day and try it again. They die. And they're dying by the hundreds and the thousands across the United States. Why? It's cheaper and, you know, it's easy to get. And you don't have, I mean, you know, a pack of cigarettes and a drink now, you almost have to get another job. Yeah. So there I was. I was 27 years of age, 26 years of age. I was sitting in an Alcoholics Anonymous, and Jack Brennan tells me, what's wrong with me? I have a disease, and that I have this problem with ungrounded and unfounded fears, and I had it since I was born. I walked around with it as a child. I was terrified of everything. I came from a reasonably monetarily well family, good family. My father worked hard. My mother worked as a homemaker. But it was a good family, a good Christian home. You know, they had their problems. But so at the age of 15, when I picked up a drink, and all of that pain went away, it's psychic pain of alcoholism. I have a physical, mental, and spiritual disease. It's a disease. It's, as I said, it's not an attitude. The amount of adrenaline that goes through my body on a daily basis based on my disease is like five times more than most people who are normal. Because I'm adrenalized all the time. I do not calm down unless I'm working a really good program. You know, somebody cuts me off and I'm still chasing them next Tuesday. You know, it's a... Now, I could have the best program in the world. All I have to have is one bad day or one bad mistake or one bad thing. So there I am at 27 and I hear my problem. And he tells me what to do with my problem. He tells me to get sober. He tells me to get a sponsor. He tells me to come to meetings. He tells me to get involved. And he tells me and he tells me and he tells me. Now, since then, nothing has changed. I'd like to say there's a new invention in Alcoholics Anonymous, but there isn't. You get a sober, you get a regular group, like the Atlantic Group is a good example, and you show up at all their meetings, and you do what is suggested, and you get sponsees, and you do service, and you live your life. And when the stuff hits the fan, you have things you can... you know, do to prevent you from walking out and saying to hell with it, and I'll have some, I'll drink this or I'll drink that. Now, at 27 years of age, I was at a place, I weighed 240 pounds. I was drinking from a quart to a quart and a half of scotch a day. I was taking from 20 to 30 barbiturates a day and 6 to 9 ounces of formaldehyde a day. And I was doing that for 5 years before I came into Alcoholics Anonymous. I didn't come in here with my three-piece suit on and sit down and say, hey, my name is Tom and I got one day. I didn't know who I was. I didn't know who you were. I didn't know where I was, and I didn't know what I was doing. I couldn't talk. I had to sit nearest the bathroom. Well, they didn't tell me to sit in front. Sit near the bathroom. And as you've witnessed, nothing's changed. I had to do that before I got up here. So. So I had the answer to my problem, you see. But they didn't promise me one thing. They didn't promise me that I would get sober and everything was going to be just fine they would told me I would get sober and everything was going to be okay and I would be able to handle anything that happened if I had the support network of a group and sponsees and a sponsor. As long as I did that and I worked the program and the 12 steps and 12 traditions and 12 concepts of the program of Alcoholics Anonymous, I'd be able to deal with it. That's what they promised me. And that's what I promised my guys. You know, it's going to happen. Stuff is going to happen. Lousy stuff is going to happen. I've been married twice, divorced twice. I have lost, married three times, sorry. After a while, you just forget about them, you know. I lost the visitation rights on my son from my first wife. I have not seen my son in 43 years. And that's by his, that's the way he wants it. My second wife got pregnant, almost died with an ectopic pregnancy. And when she got out of that, she was in a program. When she got out of that, she didn't go back to group meetings. Nobody knows where she is. So, and then I married again. A lot of you people know Liz. She's the reason why I'm standing here alive today. Because when they told her what was wrong with me in that hospital bed, she didn't sign up for that. Nobody signs up for that. You know, we don't have children. We probably would have, if we were younger, wanted them, but we didn't have. She didn't want to have a child at the age of 65. But you put a human being in front of her who's done everything for himself and his crowd, you know, the guys all his life, and you take their eyesight away from them. I was a five-year-old. You know, I was terrified of everything all over again. I had to go through everything all over again. And I'm making a point out of that because none of the guys in my group are eye doctors. They took me up and they put me in their arms and they waited on me and they shepherded me around to meetings. I make 7 or 8 meetings a week now. I get taken here and taken there and climbed up the stairs and climbed down the stairs, and I am absolutely grateful isn't a word I can come up with. You know, not everybody has this. Normal people don't have this if they don't have kids and they wind up in nursing homes. You know, I am here to say that Alcoholics Anonymous works. How much time? I think perfect. I am here to say it works, but it doesn't work the way you want it to work, and it never will. You know, you can be useful to me, and I'm very selfish about my recovery. Everybody in this room is useful. If you stay in the program and you work the program as hard as you can with the help that you need from the people that have it, you will recover and you will have a life as good as you can and you will walk in peace and happiness. And things will happen, but you'll make it. If you don't, it won't. It ain't going to happen. And it's not going to be anybody's fault except yours. You know, I'm here because I'm supposed to be here. If I was supposed to be dead, I'd be dead. If I was supposed to be without my full sight, I'd have my full sight. I don't have it. The other, you know, I could have wound up, as some of my dear friends do when they have strokes, where you can't talk and you can't walk, and you know, you don't have your mental faculties. That could have happened. And I could have been blind. I thought of drinking, and then I said to myself, yeah, blind and drunk. That's a good mix, yeah. So I took the, I said, how am I ever going to get more booze? I can't even get out of the house. If you're in here tonight and you're having trouble with the program, you're the problem. If you're having problems with your life, you're the problem. You have sponsors and you have 80 years of Alcoholics Anonymous, people like Peggy and God rest his soul, Van. You have people here that will do anything for you, but you have to give it back by doing it for somebody else. I've never seen it work otherwise. And these guys take me around and they let me be me with all of my problems and my hang-ups now about being blind and some of the worries I have. Did I lock the door? Did I turn off the gas? You know, does the cat get out? You know, it's a lot of whole new problems, you know. Stairs are a lot of fun too, by the way. So I have to have somebody to do that. I'm an alcoholic. My name is Tom. I'm sober because of the grace of God and the people of PAX that come after me on a daily basis to help my soul and my mind recover from this other great problem. And I hope to be around for a very long time and do as much help as I can. Thank you.